The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam and peace of Allah be upon all of you. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to this episode under the title of A Happy Marriage. Today, Thursday, is the 4th of Zilhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar and the 15th of July 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Holy Quran, this is chapter An-Nur, this is verse 26.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات أولئك مبرؤون مما يقولون لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم.
Evil words are for evil men, and evil men are subjected to evil words. And good words are for good men, and good men are an object of good words. Those good people are declared innocent of what the slanderers say. For them is forgiveness and noble provision.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse propounds a general principle, and it does not imply that if a man or a woman is good, this or her spouse necessarily is also good, forgiven, and is one of the people of the heaven. For the Holy Quran counts faith, piety, and good deed as the criterion. Therefore, in spite of the fact that the Prophet Noah and Lut, peace be upon them, were pure and faithful, their spouses were evil and hellish. It is possible that the purpose of the verse is intellectual, doctrinal, ethical conformity, so as to say that man and wife must be matching and soft-hued with each other. It means that every person naturally seeks an individual of the same wavelength. In other words, vile persons are after evil ones, and on the contrary, good persons are after good ones.
And to teach us the words of Allah, mercy and kindness and hope for everyone. Peace be upon you, O Muhammad.
Marriage in a nutshell. Marriage is a sacred bond and a solemn pledge entered into by a man and a woman who are committed in their goal to fulfill the sunnah and attain the pleasure of their creator. However, just like in any avenue of life, one of the key qualities of success is having a vision. Therefore, we can say that to have a successful marriage, one needs a vision for this marriage where both spouses see this beautiful coexistence as a project that must be successful. In order to flourish, this beautiful bond between a husband and a wife in Islam is something that needs to be nourished, grown, and cultivated with equal effort from both sides.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with felicitous and successful marriage in Islam. Regarding other pieces of advice that concern marriage, Imam Ali alayhi salam received the instructions of the Prophet Muhammad in that you shouldn't, receive consultation and advice of a timid person, because a timid person makes you timid, I mean, intimidates you, I mean, from taking any step forward. Or, for example, a mean, you shouldn't, I mean, receive advice of a mean person, because a mean person would impede your way, I mean, would prevent you from reaching your goals. Yet in this regard, we find that those people who want to give consultation regarding a marriage should be wise, and it must be people of good reputation, because those people who are wise and people of good reputation in their own communities, they have enough experience in this regard, and they seldom talk quite, I mean, sensitively. Rather, they talk quite, I mean, rationally or from a rational perspective. It's indicated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive any sin except the sin of a husband who denies or who never accepts the wedlock money he has to pay to his wife, because this is the right of the lady, the right of wife to receive it. Another one is, I mean, suitability. Regarding suitability, it must be indicated that Abu Juwayd, who was one of the servants of the 8th Infallible Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam, related it from the Imam who was quoting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that those people who are, I mean, believers are appropriate for each other, I mean, in terms of marriage.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Fundamentals of a happy marriage. Faithful, it is commanded by Allah that we be faithful to our spouses. Adultery is a capital crime in Islam that is punishable. However, there are various forms of unfaithful behavior prevalent. The most common form is maintaining friendships with the opposite sex over the boundaries set by Islam and the misgivings of the spouse. The latest trend of internet relationships is also contrary to Islamic etiquette and is causing serious problems between couples. Once a sense of betrayal sets in, repairing that relationship is difficult. Another form of not being faithful is when couples betray confidences. This is a trust issue, and one when compromise eats away at the heart of a marriage. Among the list of habits of happy Muslim couples, we reach to making each other bloom. Marriage begins to go headlong into constant unhappiness when one or both spouses forget this fundamental fact. Marriage makes people partners, not parts of each other that must be controlled and bossed over. As unfortunate as the truth may be, your spouse has a lot more roles to play in life than just being your spouse. And whenever you restrict them from doing justice to all the roles, you're going to be the cause of their constant frustration, which will always spill into your own marital relationship. Allah has created each of us to contribute in so many ways during our life on this earth and has blessed us with the potential to be all that He wants us to be. So be that amazing person who motivates, encourages, and helps your spouse discover and use their God-given potential and traits to bloom and be a source of joy and mercy to the world and at the first step to you.
So when it comes to the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, the ahadith tell us that the two main factors that you base your marriage on is what? The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوُجُوا. Number one, deen, faith, religion, iman, piety. And number two, akhlaq, the manners of that individual. These are the two most important criteria that will bring you happiness. A man comes to Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. He tells him, Sayyidi, many people come and they propose to my daughter. They want to marry my daughter. Which one of these men do you think I should accept? You know, who should I marry my daughter to? The Imam gives him a beautiful answer. He tells him, زَوِّجْهَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ تَقِيٍ. The most important thing is رَجُلٍ تَقِيٍ. Someone that has piety, that has iman, that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the imam says, why? Why? You might say, well, you know, if I just want to look for faith and iman, that may be a boring marriage. The imam gives the reason. He gives the wisdom behind that. He says, فَإِنَّهُ إِنْ أَحَبَّهَا أَكْرَمَهَا. There's either one of two possibilities. فَإِنَّهُ إِنْ أَحَبَّهَا أَكْرَمَهَا وَإِنْ أَبْغَضَهَا لَمْ يَظْلِمَهَا. One of two possibilities. Either that man will love your daughter or not. You'll hate her. If he loves her, then obviously he will love her, respect her, protect her, because he loves her. But let's say that he doesn't love her. He hates her. What will guarantee that he won't bother and hurt my daughter? The imam says, his iman. Remember we said if he is a rajul, that is taqi, someone that is God-fearing, then as long as he fears Allah, even if he hates his wife, he'll not oppress her. He won't hurt her. Why? Because he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if he doesn't fear his wife and he hates her, he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of his taqwa, because of his fear of Allah, he will never bother. He will never insult her. He will never oppress his wife. Even if he doesn't love it. So the imam tells him, this is the best guarantee.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran. Ya Rabbi, shukran.
That was all for today's special. So we'll continue this topic, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Until then, believe you under Allah's protection.
Ya Khaliq al-insan, Ya Rabbi Ya Rahman, Shukran Ya Rabbi,
Shukran Ya Rabbi,
Ya Munzil al-Quran, Ya Khaliq al-insan, يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا رب.
Food for thought.
Hello dear friends. And here is a wise saying from the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, worth contemplating upon. The best friend is good mannerism. It is the title of the record book of the believers.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. There are certain things that we as human beings need to learn, and we learn this either via our parents, the environment that we are in, the friends that we have, and so on and so forth. And those things that we learn is what makes up our demeanor, our, if I like to say, behavioral characteristics, and so on and so forth. Therefore, we see that the concept of adab or adab, which can be translated as etiquettes, or some have translated it as manners, rather it's the way a person acts. And it's those things in which a person has learned. Because when we are born, we are not born with these etiquettes, with these mannerisms, and so on and so forth. These are learned. We either learn it via seeing people, or we learn it by being taught. Therefore, we see in this beautiful tradition from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam, he speaks about the best of manners and the best of etiquettes. And he says that the best of manners or etiquettes are those which prevents you from committing sins. So we see there are certain etiquettes or mannerisms that we learn or we can learn that may lead us towards sins. For example, we can learn how to be stingy. We can learn how to be greedy. We can also learn how to be chivalrous. And it all depends on the environment that we grow up in, the environment that we experience. Therefore, it is important, especially as parents, to understand these ahadith and these teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. For the first madrasa, or the first school of a child, is the home, is the parents. So if the parents have good etiquettes, even though they may have not been brought up in a particular way, but if the parents decided, or you know, have become religious and so on and so forth, they can then pass on these etiquettes and these Islamic mannerisms, these etiquettes that will prevent their children from sinning. First of all, they have to practice it, and then obviously then try and pass it on. Or find good teachers for our children, teachers who will be able to pass on this Islamic tradition of adab, this Islamic tradition of good mannerisms, good etiquettes, and so on and so forth. And as we see, those etiquettes which prevent us from sinning. And obviously, we need to go further, and hopefully, whenever we get the chance, to further delve into what these etiquettes actually are. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to access these etiquettes, to inculcate them in our lives, and hopefully the generations that come after us learn these adab and etiquettes from us. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Mahdi, and as-salamu alaykum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, we are going to listen to the recitation of verses 27 to 41 of Surah An-Nazi'at, recited by Master of Quran Recitation, Sheikh Mustafa Ismail.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem.
Welcome back, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program, Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 27 to 41 of Surah An-Nazi'at, recited by the great Egyptian reciter, Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this recitation by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, we mostly heard the riwayah of Warsh an-Nafir, the favorite riwayah of Egyptians, because Warsh, the person who is the rawi of this recitation, was Egyptian. And the reason he was called Warsh was that because he had white skin.
What's the meaning of Warsh?
Warsh means someone who has very white skin.
Mm-hmm.
It means white, I believe. And there are some signs for the riwayah of Warsh. A lot of signs. The first one was the tasheel of the hamza at the beginning of verse 27. Antum. He didn't say antum like Hafs. Mustafa Ismail said antum. Only the nabr of the first hamza is applied. For the second hamza, he pronounces it without nabr. Antum, antum, or antum. This is one way of pronouncing antum in Warsh. Antum with tasheel. Another way, which Mustafa Ismail also, he also recited in the second way, was antum, which means you make the hamza, you turn the first hamza, you give it an aliful mad. And it becomes,
instead of two hamzas, you pronounce
you
it like
pronounce
an
one aliful mad, which is madul lazim,
because there's six vowels.
Six vowels, because there's a nun sakina after the long vowel. Antumu ashaddu, and antumu ashaddu. Sila mim mimul jamma. This is called silatu mimul jamma. Every time there is the pronoun mim, whom. Whom, these pronouns,
yeah,
which are plural, third person or second person pronouns, and they're followed by a hamza.
Whom it doesn't and kum.
Whom, kum. They become humu, kumu, a'antumu, antum, kum, hum, a'antumu, ashatu. You have to lengthen the mim like a long vowel, waw, like a
waw. You have to add actually a vowel.
You have to add the long vowel waw, wawul met, to the meme for six vowel counts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Somehow difficult.
It's Warsh has very difficult rules. Ashaddu khalqan mis sama. We have naql.
Khalqan.
Khalqan mis sama. The kasra is given to the previous sakin letter, which is nun. خلقان السماء.
What it should be, what it used to be actually?
خلقان, excuse me, خلقان السماء, not خلقان السماء. خلقان السماء, it should be in Hafs, خلقان السماء. Mm-hmm. So you see the difference? And then we have the تقليل or the إمالة الصغرى that we talked about. بنيها, بنيها.
When we have zawatul ya, or a ya with a small alif above it.
Taqlil is easy. You just say a. Baneha, baneha, duhaha.
Yeah. The aliful mat becomes close to
ya al-mat, but not too close.
For about 25%.
75, yeah. It gets close to ya al-mat, 25, but it's 75%, it's aliful mat.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Most of it is aliful mat. But the other rules are the same. We have rafa'a, we have the tafkhim of the ra, we have the tarqiq of the other letters of istifal, rafa'a samkaha fasawwaha, wa aghtasha, we have the tafkhim of the letters of isti'la,
the thickness.
Yeah, the thickness of ghain, ta aghtasha, aghtasha, laylaha wa akh رجع the خاء ضحاها the ضاد. And another thing we had in verse 30 was والأرض, which is again نقل, where the vowel which is after the ساكن letter is given to the ساكن letter that's before the letter with a vowel.
والأرض in حفص عن عاصم becomes والأرض.
So we have أرض, the Hamza has a fatha.
Yes.
This fatha is given to the letter before it, which is والأرض, which is لام.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. والأرض بعد ذلك دحيها. And another
thing, which is ساكن actually, this لام.
All the mads in Warsh, مد المتصل, مد المنفصل, مد اللازم, they're all lengthened to six vowel counts.
Mm-hmm.
So this makes it easy. This is the only easy part about
yes.
Warsh.
Whenever you...
Yeah. Of course, lengthening a long vowel to six vowel counts by itself is not so easy, you know, because you have to have a really
long breath. It requires a long breath,
long
actually.
Long breath. If you want to, like, for example, if you want to connect... وَالْأَرْضُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دَحَاهَا أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاعَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا. You have to do دَحَاهَا أَخْرَجَ and also مَاءَهَا.
Yeah, knowing
two
this rule is easy,
six,
actually.
Yeah, it's knowing it is
but
good.
Observing it is very difficult.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali, talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In our hadith, it's very much criticized and condemned that a person would just interpret the Quran based on their own personal opinion. I remember one of ulama who is a marja now, many years ago, he used to say, as he was leading prayer in our school in Qom, he used to say, although he's a marja, and at that time was also recognized mujtahid, he said, I never say any tafsir unless I check with a book. And he used to recommend a lot at Tafsir al-Safi by the late Mullah Muhsin Faiz Kashani. Because you know Mullah Muhsin Faiz Kashani has many books. He has also three famous tafsir. Al-Safi, Al-Musaffa, Al-Aswa. So Tafsir al-Safi is a very good book, very simple and easy to follow. So this mujtahid was saying, without checking at least this tafsir, I am not talking about any ayah of the Quran. So we have to be very careful. We want to go to the Quran with open heart, with curiosity, but we want to get proper answer. We don't want to impose our ideas or our ignorance to the Quran. If we follow the Quran properly, with through a scholarship, then actually you would find things are very easy to understand and they are something that every person by his fitrah would appreciate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us among the people who are very attentive and appreciative of Quran and try to understand the Quran as Allah has meant and willed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran our Shafi on the Day of Judgment and our guide to heaven, inshallah.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you on last care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منان سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نوبنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about the laws of divorce according to Ayatollah Sistani's fatwas. Before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzumah Sabzawari and Sharh Ishraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazwini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in Fiqh and Usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Well, Sheikh Javid, let's talk about the divorce according to Ayatollah Sistani's laws and fatwas. And in the last episode, I asked you about the civil divorce, whether it is valid or not. And you said, no, we have to differentiate between the civil laws and ritual laws. Let me start this episode with this question. You know, we know that you know, before a divorce, a genuine divorce to happen, usually there is an emotional breakup.
Sure.
All right.
Yes.
And the couples usually separate for a while, and then they go to the ceremonies, like I mean, the formalities of the laws, and they get their divorce officially. But if that is the case, if the couple separate for a couple of months,
yeah,
let's say 6 months, right?
Or even 6 years.
Or even years, yes.
Yes.
All right. Would that be considered as a divorce, or there would be no need actually for a divorce for them to pursue?
Well, there are people out there who are under the impression that when a husband and his wife separate from each other for a long time, let's say 6 months or 6 years or more or less, okay,
mm-hmm.
then their marriage is automatically
void,
nullified, actually, and they are no longer considered to be husband and wife to each other. This is a kind of, this is just in a general understanding, but it is not based on any valid
mm-hmm.
Reasons or any concrete or solid arguments. Nothing is there to support this notion. According to Islamic Sharia, in order for a divorce to be valid, there are certain conditions to be met, and of course, as we promised, we will inshallah discuss this.
Mm-hmm.
But it is wrong to believe that a long separation that takes place between a husband and wife will ultimately, or at the end of the day, will terminate their relationship forever, and in such a way that they will not be considered husband and wife. That's not actually the case.
Mm-hmm, I see. Thank you for that, Sheikh Tawid. What is the status of the divorce where a husband's signature is forged on divorce paper, on divorce permit or document? Is the divorce valid then?
Well, many such questions do come to the offices of the religious authorities, with some people asking that, okay, I never consented to a divorce, and
mm-hmm.
my, for example, signature has been forged
mm-hmm.
by some people. I have never been there to give my consent or permission for divorce. And of course, such cases do happen, especially in countries like Indian subcontinent, Pakistan, Bangladesh, in such places. Such forgery does take place, unfortunately. And the truth of the matter is that fabrication of documents or forging signatures do not have any impact on the truth, on the relationship between the husband and wife. They remain, and they continue to remain, husband and wife. That forgery will not impact or affect their relationship.
The Office of Ayatollah Sistani is currently providing the following services. 1. Board of Istifta, replying to religious questions. 2. Helping the poor, needy, homeless, and those who have suffered losses by earthquakes and floods. 3. Sending books for people who want to understand and learn Islam. 4. Hajj delegation. 5. Sending preachers. Board of Istifta is a link between Ayatollah Sistani and people. It provides them with answers to questions pertaining to religious, ideological, social, and educational matters in accordance with the verdicts and rulings of Ayatollah Sistani. For more information, visit the website of Ayatollah Sistani at www.sistani.org. You can also ask your questions through the following email, english@sistani.org.
Usually, even in the eyes of law, forgery is considered illegal.
Illegal,
and
sure.
It doesn't hold any value.
Definitely.
All right. What about a situation where we know that in lots of Eastern countries, as opposed to the Western countries, where the couple decide on their own to marry or divorce? But usually we see that in lots of other countries, especially in the East, as I mentioned earlier, that the parents also have a say in whatsoever these rituals are,
mm-hmm.
Because of their emotional attachment, probably.
Yes.
All right? Imagine a situation where a man's parents want him to divorce his wife.
Yeah.
All right, but he himself doesn't want that to happen.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to divorce her.
Sure.
His wife. All right. What would that situation be? And should he obey his parents' commands to divorce her or keep living with her?
Yes, it's just like being between a rock and a hard, you know?
Yes.
Wall, or there is a saying in English.
Yes.
Because one has to either choose between hurting, obeying his parents, or hurting them and keeping his wife, you know? Mm-hmm. Of course, the parents have no right and no authority to compel their son to divorce his wife, you know. In such cases, the son has to decide independently or without even listening to his parents, because maybe his wife is not compatible with his parents, and it is actually his responsibility to provide his wife with a separate place of residence, a separate accommodation or something, so that she may have mm-hmm. actually peace of mind, and she may have her privacy. And of course, in an extended family, the wife usually does not have that privacy. She has to observe hijab because her cousins are there, uncles are there, and everyone has actually has a say in the decisions made in that extended family. And therefore, unfortunately, in such families, the wife's right is usually violated.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually the responsibility of the husband to provide his wife with a separate place, even if he may have to rent a place or leave as a tenant, he has to go to a great deal actually to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in any case, it is
a must.
It is his legal duty. But if he does not and he cannot do so, and his parents is now actually picking feud with his wife every day, there's a quarrel, there's a dispute, and there is actually a fight going on between the wife and his parents. His parents do not like, for example, their daughter-in-law,
mm-hmm.
while her husband wants his wife. In such cases, the husband should never listen to his parents. He should not listen. He should not obey his parents, and he should keep his wife. He should protect his marriage. He should do whatever he can to actually to save his marriage, of course, he has to support his wife in such a crowded
mm-hmm.
Environment or family.
The husband listens to his parents and divorces his wife, would it be considered a sin? Or it's haram actually to do so?
It is not haram to divorce one's wife, but it's highly despicable,
mm-hmm.
and it is discouraged.
You know, talaq or divorce is the most hated or the most despicable halal action, you know. And the Islamic Sharia allows a man to divorce his wife, but at the same time, he is dissuaded and discouraged from taking such action.
I see.
It is said that divorce is a solution. It is a lost resort. It's the lost solution.